And that's how God made us. So it's not like one's smarter than another, but one is filtering through the exact same, they're seeing the exact same thing. So that's why Jesus could appear to the women as a gardener and they know it's him, and he has to walk through a wall to convince the men, which he did. He was in the fourth dimension. He came right through the wall. Then he got to James, and it wasn't even enough that he walked through the wall. He said, no, you got to handle me. Put your hand in my wound, you know, and they watched him eat fish, you know. It's like, okay, we're not sure.
Is that just a collective couple verses that people just like to dive in, pull out, and here's what we believe in terms of women speaking publicly?
Their gender causes them to filter life through their gender.
In this episode of the Curt and Andrew Podcast, guys, wow, we are tackling another really sensitive topic, and this one's going to be in the church. You know, we aren't shying away from certain topics that a lot of Christians, a lot of people, a lot of theologians. This one is going to hit home, maybe hopefully with you and people that you know, friends and family. So, Rabbi, let's jump into it. This one we wanted to talk about, really unpack biblically with a couple passages of Scripture. Women in the church, women pastors, women leading in front of men. Let's just start with what was your initial thought kind of coming into the faith years and years ago when you were radically saved and you were learning, and maybe the first time that you experienced a woman pastor or a woman preaching in front of a group of men or a mixed audience?
Okay. Well, I think this would be a good place to start. We actually were supposed to have Megan Marcelino with us today. And of course, she's on maternity leave. She's Christy and I's daughter. And when I talked to her today about like coming, she says, well, I don't feel like I'm qualified to speak into it because the way I was raised is I'm raised by parents that had, you know, Christy's mom had her own business, very strong. I was raised by my mother, who was an Olympian, Jewish mother, very strong woman. So when you ask me that, what Megan said, she said, I was raised by parents that didn't put gender limitations on me. And I was raised like both Christy and I were raised that I can do whatever I put my mind to. Okay, so that's kind of our family culture. We're second generation products of that. So, so when I got saved at 36, Daryl, I didn't know that women weren't supposed to preach according to the translation. But then once I started to reconnect to my own Jewish roots, and then once I started going, you know, we started taking tours to Israel. I think I've taken 17 tours to Israel. And so when I would go into the ancient synagogues and they would say, here's this synagogue here at Capernaum and different ones, and they would say, this side over here is where the men sit and this is where the women sit on the other side. And I didn't know that, you know. I mean, I know that in modern synagogues, when I go to my friends' Orthodox synagogues in Palm Beach, they have it still divided that way, and women on one side. And I can remember somebody, one of the tour guides that I had said to me, now they got to realize this is early of us going to Israel. And he said, do you realize that the Gentile church doesn't understand why the scriptures that we're going to read? I feel like I need to kind of speak this out up front. He said, the reason that they were talking about women communicating in churches is because it was disruptive to the reading of the scripture by the rabbi at the bima, which would be, we'd call it pulpit. It's a bima. The bima in a synagogue means whoever stands there and who's holding on to that bima is speaking as God, because you're reading scripture. So you have to, you know, cleanse yourself and you're speaking as God. So you have the men on this side, women on that side. And the reason the scriptures were saying this, this is what the believing tour guide told us. This was years. This is for me in the 90s. So you're asking why. He said they didn't want the disruption of the service with the wife, let's say on the other side, yelling across to the husband, asking a question about the teaching, which evidently would have happened. And being around Jewish women, I can tell you that would be, that culture would be, if they're thinking it, they're going to speak about it. So I can say that as a Jewish man. So I'm just saying they have an opinion and you're going to hear about it. And if you don't let them share, then as we say in our household, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. So that's where that all comes from, our culture. But anyway, that's what it was about. So early on, I heard that. And so even the scriptures that we're going to read, I can kind of reference that. But that was a cultural thing. But you have to understand, when you have the Gentile world filtering and interpreting through a Jewish culture, sometimes there's misunderstandings. And that's where we're going to go today is, just to tell people, do I think women can preach? Let me ask you this question. I'll ask you this question.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll just ask you a question. If I get up and share and you share online, who's really sharing?
Okay. I'm tracking the question.
Who do you think when you see me on Friday nights live streaming, who's really ministering?
The Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
So does the Holy Spirit, is he prejudiced against gender?
Oh, does he stop at women basically?
No.
Yeah, no.
So if the Holy Spirit is in a woman and is in a man, then there's your answer. Because ultimately, if you're teaching, preaching, prophesying, proclaiming, decreeing, anything you would do verbally with your mouth, it's the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you this other question. Some of this stuff is real practical, okay? Jesus dies, right? No one understood that that they died. I knew we weren't going here, but just track with me. So Jesus dies and all the men are where? They're in the upper room with the door locked. Why? They're fearful. Why are they fearful? What's the men's job to do? The men is to protect the women and children, right? But they're fearful because they saw what happened. They go, my gosh, this is the most brutal crucifixion execution I've ever seen, and I'm not understanding it. So they are terrified and traumatized by what happened to the Messiah. Okay, now, where are the women? The women aren't to protect the men and the children. The men do. So their mind is such that they actually go to do the women's job, to go to the tomb, and Jesus is disguised, dressed up like a gardener. And the women immediately recognize him. And then the women carry the message back to the fearful men locked behind the door. Hello?
This is good.
Yeah. The women are, they're locked behind the door and they said, he's alive. And what did the men say? No, he's not. So, and the women say, oh no, he is. So the women are the first ones that have the revelatory understanding of seeing the resurrected Jesus in the fourth dimension.
Is this story a parallel to the saying that women are generally smarter than men? Because I know in my marriage, my wife is way more intelligent. And sometimes it takes me a little bit to kind of get things, kind of like the story there.
I don't think men or women are smarter. I think that what my message to you is this, if you can get, this will so help you. Listen, for me as a grandfather of little boys and two little girls, you have to get this. You have to get this, because when you're interacting with them, you can't interact with one way. You have to, you have a little boy and a little girl, and you'll get this over time when they get a little bigger. Their gender causes them to filter life through their gender. Okay? And so what's happening is these women that went to the tomb were interested in taking care of the body, and not protecting the men. The men's job was to protect the rest of the flock from these crazy Romans that just brutalized and killed their leader. So their mind's on, you know, doing the karate moves and stuff and hiding out. And what are we going to do? The women say, no, that's not. Our job is to go and take care of his body, because that's what women do. And they're going to go and prepare him. And so their mind. So I would rather have it leave this in this podcast, is that you have to understand that women are filtering through nurturing and caring, and men are more featured through, I hit the mic there, sorry. That men are more into protection and provision. And that's how God made us. So it's not like one's smarter than another, but one is filtering through the exact same, they're seeing the exact same thing. So that's why Jesus could appear to the women as a gardener and they know it's him, and he has to walk through a wall to convince the men. Which he did. He was in the fourth dimension. He came right through the wall. Then he got to James, and it wasn't even enough that he walked through the wall. He said, "No, you got to handle me. Put your hand in my wound," you know. And they watched him eat fish, you know. It's like, okay, we're not sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been discussing a lot of, say, controversial, you know, spiritual topics. And I think most of these topics, for one side versus the other, I'm going to say more of like the conservative nature side of some of this, you know, topics in scripture, that they like to skip around. And again, like, this is kind of how you're taught, brought up, right? I think, at least in my experience, and I think a lot of other people, that for most of your life, your faith, if you grew up in church, is fairly similar to your parents, right? Or, you know, leadership figures in your life that you're going to gravitate to because you're going to learn to them. You want to get in proximity and kind of emulate, right? But I think some Christians, kind of where they get stuck on some of these topics, is that we pick and choose contexts in the times that it was written to the people that they were speaking to, right? And yes, scripture is living and breathing, and it is 100% true for today as it was back then. But, you know, even like instrumental music, right? Like, you're talking about that versus, man, a host of different topics that some churches very strong one way, Christian viewpoint very strong one way. I loved how you started this episode off by breaking down your experience in Israel and being taught by other men in Israel just what you saw, right? In terms of women in the culture.
And this is one of the top guides. It's also a rabbi and a believer, and you know, just this is somebody I you know, he's gone home to be with the Lord now, but this was somebody I hugely respected and I was honored to be with. So I had a lot of real, I was blessed to have some real solid influence. But one of the things, like, I was with a friend of mine that was raised in a Christian home, which I was not, and pastor's kid. And they said, "You have an advantage in the sense that you don't have to unlearn stuff."
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly what I'm talking about, that you grow up in your faith or your parents or other people that would be for that.
Yeah, well, that's like Megan. You know, Megan's COO. She runs all this, and she's not running it because she's our daughter. She's running because she's capable. But, you know, like, when I talked to her today about, "Are you coming to do this?" And she said, "No." And I said, and she said, "Really, Daddy, I'm not qualified because of how I was raised. I was raised, I could do anything." And I'm doing the same thing with the 9-year-old, her daughter, my granddaughter. I'm doing the same thing. I am not going to tell Arabella she can't do what Joseph does and vice versa. I mean, I can't tell you the importance of, like, for us, it's so important to pray and prophesy. I mean, we even go down to the names that we have, we've chosen for our children. I don't want to go on the air, but when we speak those names out, the reason it's important that we do is because we're calling out their purpose and their calling. But we fasted and prayed for each one of these children, even with Megan. I mean, we prayed for her name. She has literally her name, what we call her. She is, I'll just say her name. Her name is Megan Danielle. So it comes from Mogan David. She is the light or the star of David with the wisdom of Daniel. Okay. And that's what she is. That's who she is. So, but we chose that name based off spiritually, like, Lord, what do you want to call her? So I think that's really important, but I have too many really strong female spiritual people in my life that I'm not going to mention names, but I have couples that I know where I think the woman is a better preacher and teacher than the man. So that's just how they're gifted. But I will say this, is that you have to, some of the couples I know that minister together, like Christy and I, is Christy, everyone says, oh, she's the sweetest, she's the loving, she's all this, okay? And she is. So when we go out and she's ministering prophetically and praying for people, her whole focus, 100% of her focus is absolutely on that, those people she's ministering to. Okay? She is not focused on the reservations at the hotel, the airlines, the are we online, the message like that I have to carry. All the stuff I have to carry to make the whole thing go, I'm carrying a whole different level of responsibility. I'm kind of like the men in the room locked behind saying, okay, now what do we do next? And the women are out like, let's go down to the tomb and talk to the gardener. You know, it's like a totally different thing. I'm okay with it because when people have the experience, I just put her on Facebook. She is not on Facebook. I put her birthday on Facebook. Over 1,000 comments on her birthday, 1,000. That's the effect. And all of them, you're the sweetest, you're this. Why is she that way? Well, first of all, she is that way. But one of the reasons we allow her to be that way is that when she's there and she's in your church ministering and she's praying for the people and doing whatever, she's totally focused on that person. She's not worried about all the message and all the other stuff. That's what I carry. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's so important. But anyway, let's look at some of these scriptures and then we'll apply it to what we've been talking about.
Yeah. So the first two groups of scriptures are going to be in 1 Corinthians. I'll be reading from New Living Translation, and we're going to pop it up on the screen below. So I was thinking I was going to jump in more in 1 Corinthians 11. I think I'm going to just kind of summarize it because I want to get to the other set in 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 16, tons of teaching on, every man, the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, the head of Christ is God. That's coming from verse 3. The entire portion of 1 Corinthians in here is instructions of public worship. And it's kind of a rolling theme through 1 Corinthians, Rabbi, over into 1 Timothy.
Right.
And this whole section is really talking about men's hair, right? Head coverings, which is a topic that we're kind of bouncing around. Maybe we do a whole episode on head covering and kind of, how to look at that from a Christian man or a Christian woman into today's church. But this whole group of scripture in 1 Corinthians 11 really walks through that, right? About women refusing to wear a head covering or a man cutting his hair, honoring. And so anything you want to say about that? I'm just kind of summarizing because I want to get to the other patch.
Okay, so let me just do this real practical. Okay. Like, someone might say to you, like, well, Rabbi, how do you operate and live in all these different denomination cultures, okay? The reason is whatever the culture parameters, protocols is in the culture I go, I become that. Okay.
Unpack that.
So, like, for instance, I was I was at Mar-a-Lago at an event, and there was two Orthodox rabbis there who are the main rabbis over the two big synagogues in Palm Beach. And they were there with their wives, and Christy and I just connected with them. Okay. And they know that I'm a believer. Excuse me. So one of them said, I would really like to bless you. I feel from the Lord to bless you. So I said, well, I would love that. He said, you come to my synagogue tomorrow and I want to bless you. So we go, beautiful synagogue. It's Palm Beach, right? So, the rabbi has me in, his wife is there, all of his kids. He has seven kids. He's younger. Such a blessing. He just loved Christy and I. So I said, how do you want to bless me? And he says, I want to put on the Teflon, which is the wrapping where you wrap the leather around and you have the box with the scripture in it and you wrap your around your hand and your arm. And I've never had that done because I'm not Orthodox and I wasn't raised in an Orthodox home. So my point is, he took me through that experience because that's how he basically, what this is all about is, I'm going to wrap you up in the instruction of Moses and the love of the law of God on your arm, your hand, and your mind. That's what it basically is. So Christy and I are there. She's crying. Of course, she's on the other side. There's the thing that goes down the middle. She's on that side with the ladies. And she's in there, so she put on a scarf. She covered her head because that's what you do. And I'm on the other side, and the rabbi's doing that, and I had on a kippah, and he put that on. And I got to tell you, it was like I had a bar mitzvah or something. I mean, I can't explain. I just got powerfully changed. But the point is, he felt led to share. That was his best blessing that he had. And I said, yes, I'm going to do it. Okay. So when I go out, like with Christians, I have Christian friends. Okay. And I'm a Christian. If I go out to eat dinner with Christians who don't drink, I don't care that they don't drink. I drink wine. They don't drink wine. I'm a chef. They're not a chef. So it's a big part of like my lifestyle. And in Jewish culture, Jews look at wine very differently than the church culture. So I get it. So my point is, when I go out with my Christian friends that do not consume wine, I don't drink wine. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But if they do, then I do. It's just like, what I'm saying is, I'll sum it up this way. The scripture that Paul said has become an instruction for me for 30 years. He said, I will become all things to all people that the gospel might be preached. And so that's kind of my protocol, is I'm going to do what's comfortable for them so that they feel comfortable with me, so I have an opportunity to not just share, but for them to experience the love of Christ in me with them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I 100%. So I think I've changed my mind. I'm going to read the last half of 1 Corinthians 11, get you to react to it, and we're going to kind of jump through, because some points you kind of brought up there, I think we kind of need to address it. I don't need to do a complete summary of that. So starting 1 Corinthians 11, verse 13, judge for yourself. Is it right for a woman to pray to God in public without covering her head? Isn't it obvious that it's disgraceful for a man to have long hair? And isn't long hair a woman's pride and joy? For it has been given to her as a covering. But if anyone wants to argue about this, I simply say that we have no other custom than this, and neither do God's other churches. So try to unpack that a little bit, because this section of scripture is really used, in a lot of different ways. Some Christians can tie it into just biblical authority of being in a public setting, being before God and other Christians.
Well, if you go in that same chapter and mm-hmm. in 11 and 5, it says, "But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. So it's not saying here, should they? In verse 5, they said they do.
Mm-hmm.
So they do speak, but they have to be covered. So it's really this simple, Daryl. Okay. Is if I bring someone into House of David and they, we have them prophesy. Now, you know, we've had prophets come in here, male and female, and prophesy over the whole staff. You just had an experience with listening to one that came from a couple of years ago, and it just plowed you.
Yes, now, it did.
Yeah. So, but the reason we do that is because there's nothing going to happen without speaking it first through the servant, the prophet. So all this is saying with ladies, for the females, is it's not about the physical covering. I know Christy covered her head when we were at the synagogue in Palm Beach. I get it. She did that out of honor and respect for the rabbi, because that's what the rabbi does. But to be honest with you, her real covering is the fact that she wants to be there praying and weeping why her husband, who is her covering, me, is being ministered to by the rabbi. I submitted to the rabbi's covering to come into his portal there in Palm Beach. Now, the reason this was also emotional for us is, I'll just give you the backstory. We had a female prophet prophesy saying, you're going to Mar-a-Lago, okay? You're going to Trump's. You're going to get an invitation to go. And I did. In fact, yeah, I was asked to pray and anoint with oil the entire property. This was years ago. So, and I did that. They asked me to pray over the whole property. So, but it was prophesied that I was going to go. And then what it said was, and the Lord will anoint you there to release your inheritance that you have in Palm Beach. Now, many of you don't know the story, but when I was reconnected to my biological father, I found him. He was a businessman in Palm Beach.
Ooh.
Mm. So I'm in
It's making too much sense.
I'm in Palm Beach, and now the head rabbi of Palm Beach, one of the senior rabbis, there's two, has me in a synagogue and invites me, because what happened is they had dinner. We had a dinner in Mar-a-Lago, and it was so funny. They saw my title, right? So they put all the pastors and the Christians on this side and all the Jews on this side. And I got stuck with the Jews, even though I'm a Christian. I'm at the rabbi table. And it's hilarious how this works, because if you're at the Jewish rabbi table, you always get the better. I mean, the treatment is like incredible. I mean, it's like,
what?
It's the upgrade. I'm okay, just telling you right
you take
now.
It.
I'm just telling you. So I'm there. And so they saw the title. So they put my name. And so like a lot of my Christian friends, the pastors were all looking going, well, what are the Landrys doing over there with the rabbis from Palm Beach?
You got steak, they got chicken.
No. It wasn't it's just the way it goes. I shouldn't even mention it, but I'm just saying they take really good care of us. And we were right next to Trump. So anyway, the whole thing just was great. And, but the prophet said I was going to receive a release of my inheritance. The release of my inheritance was spoken through the rabbi when he blessed me. And so it actually happened. See, if I wouldn't have had the prophetic word, I would have thought, well, this is nice. He's blessing me. But what he was doing, and he even said, all the inheritance that you have here in Palm Beach, he says, I release to you now.
He's not chills? I mean, did you get chills?
Passed out. It was so powerful. But you see, so that's why this stuff is important. And I'll just say this about this particular rabbi there. His wife with seven children, she's beautiful. She's like my wife. My wife is stunning. I mean, no one can just say that, you know, she's just beautiful. This rabbi's wife is stunning, and she's sweet. And it's hard to find a really, when you see somebody that's that beautiful and they're humble and sweet and friendly to everyone and not full of themselves, that's a rare commodity. It's a rare thing to see. His wife is the same, younger version of Christy, And she's a servant. She's wanting to make sure everything is so well. She welcomed us into her synagogue. She was, and then she made sure Christy had everything that she got her. She says, here's my scarf. Put my head covering on. See what I'm saying? There's something about that was the lady's job. The rabbi couldn't go to my wife. First of all, in Orthodox Judaism, he can't touch her. He physically can't make that connection. So, but his wife did it. So you operate as a team. You know, it's, yeah. To me, this is not complicated.
Let's hop over to 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll jump over to 1 Timothy. So these two, depending which, verses you kind of pick, and you don't look at the entire context of it, or more into kind of who is being speaking or spoken to, right? So let's jump over to 1 Corinthians 14, and let's focus on verse 34 and 35. It says, women should be silent during the church meetings. It is not proper for them to speak. They should be submissive, just as the law says. If they have any questions, they should ask their husbands at home, for it is improper for women to speak in church meetings. So is that just a collective couple verses that people just like to dive in, pull out, and here's what we believe in terms of women speaking publicly?
Yes. So that's what happened with the revelation I had with the guide, is that if the women are on one side and there's a half wall down the room separating them, they need not to be speaking over that wall, having to shout, disrupting the rabbi who was ever teaching. And that's what this is dealing with. if you go to 1 Corinthians in the same chapter and you go to the first verse, 14:1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And it doesn't say, especially you may prophesy if you're a man.
A good point.
It's everybody prophesies. But how about this? Don't be prophesying in the middle while the rabbi's preaching and you're on the other side of the room. Or if you have a question over the teaching, don't be yelling across the wall to your husband. And evidently they did this. And so what Paul was doing was establishing the protocol of what you do. This is all in the synagogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's all in the same chapter.
Mm-hmm.
That we, I won't say we, but Christians in just the general term that would have, a issue with women preaching and really dive into teachings, look at a lot of debates and, just a lot of content like that. It's one of my pet peeves where, and I'll just be transparent, when Christians pick out a little book, chapter, verse on me. And, I'm obviously not apologetic. I'm not really going to debate you all the way. I'm more than happy to hear and kind of sow into it. And most of the time, just listen, because most of the time, I'm not going to have a response initially. Like, I've got my book, chapter, verse in my back pocket. I'm about to, we're about to go to scripture battle here, right? And a lot of people on the other side come after me or other people that would be sitting in this same camp saying, from the viewpoint of, well, you just don't know scripture, right? Because I want to take what they're saying, listen to it, get the download from whatever they're saying, then go study myself, right? And then look at the entire context of what's going on and who's being spoken to in these churches, right? Why are these issues happening? Why is Paul talking about it? Why is Peter talking about this? Why are these issues happening? And, the Bible's true back then as it is true today. You still have a lot of these same issues and you still have a lot of these conversations and arguments and they can get really, really heated. But Rabbi, if we jump over in 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, 12 through 15, I think it's one of those other examples of we're kind of picking and choosing. And so I'm going to toss it up to you, and then you just take it where you want to. I'm going to start in verse 11, though, 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, women should learn quietly and submissively. I do not let women teach men or have authority over them. Let them listen quietly, for God made Adam first, and afterward he made Eve.
Yeah, so what he's doing is here is he's talking about the alignment in the family. He is talking about God is first, the husband, and then the wife, and that is the alignment. Women need to be covered by the husband. That's all this has to do. This has to do with the covering.
Let's just be straightforward. Why do Christians use verses like this? And why do they use book, chapter, verse to attack their brother or sister in Christ over?
Well, first of all, there's no anointing to attack your brother. You know, if you go to Matthew or Mark 7:1, it says, "Judge not, lest you be judged. With what measure you judge your brother, will be measured back to you." So it's a judgmental spirit. It's critical. So. When you don't understand the Jewish roots, the whole purpose of this ministry is to restore the Jewish roots of the faith. Let me give you an example. If you understand the Jewish roots of the faith, okay? And then I'll give you a little insight to this story. I'm going to back into it. I had a prophetic word at the house that I have now. And a friend of mine came and prophesied where the house was basically a rectangle, kind of like a ranch style. And a prophet came, stood in my backyard, and when we first bought the house and we're remodeling it, he said, "I see a wing of the house coming off here. I see publication. I see books. I see media." I said, "Okay." So he prophesied that out. And then the Lord gave me a vision. He said, I see a wing of that out, and I see right up against the building a swimming pool, okay? And the Lord said, "I want you to be able to be in your office, look out of your office into the pool, and watch your grandchildren." I have no grandchildren.
That's pretty very specific.
Yeah. No, I have no grandchildren. So anyway, we added on to the house. We built a wing. And the studio that you all watch me at when you see the live stream, that's from that room. That's all we do in that room is write, study, and produce content. It's not a family room. It's nothing. It's just that. That's what the Lord said. You look out the window, you look right into the swimming pool. Now, the Lord gave me a vision of this. He said, "I want you to put in a kiddie pool that's about this deep. 3 out of the 4 grandchildren, because the fourth one's only 2 months old right now, all learn to walk in that kiddie pool because it's this high. So they can stand up as toddlers, grab onto the side of it in the water, and with a floaty, they all learn to help perfect walking in that pool. How is that pool shaped? It's shaped like a Hebrew letter, a dalet, which is a door, shaped just like a dalet. But at the end of this, there's water that comes out of these big clay, ceramic pots. They're about this tall. And these ceramic pots are just like the pots that Jesus turned the water into wine. In these pots at my house, okay, they have red laser lights in them. So at night when they bubble up, because they have jets on them, when they bubble up, it appears that red wine is coming out of these pots into this dalet.
Wow.
There's 7 stones walking across this. The name of Jesus in Hebrew is in tile in the concrete of these stepping stones. Between the stepping stones, the water runs out into the pool. Now, why did I do this? First of all, this was the vision the Lord gave me. It's not just beautiful. But here's the story. Why did Jesus tell, first of all, his mother came and said, "They're out of wine." And then she told the servants, "You do whatever he says." He says to his mother, "It's not my time." She walks away. He can only do that which the Father said. Why would God the Father from his throne choose to turn pots, these big pots, think about it, that were used for ritual, religious ritual, to wash people's feet. These were ritualistic pots. They would turn them over and they would wash people's feet so they could come into people's house. Why would you turn feet washing water into wine? Because wine in the Hebrew culture is joy. So Jesus' very first miracle is to turn legalistic physical washing pots of water into joy. He said, I have the power to turn your what you think you have to try to wash away. I can literally spiritually take away. You're washing your feet. I'm going to wash your heart. And I'm going to bring the best wine for last. So all of my grandchildren, Joseph can tell you, if you come to the house, Joseph will say, now, you have to understand when you go into the kiddie pool that that's a door, and that's a door for a new life. But out of these pots comes the joy of the Lord that washes you, and it was all paid for by Yeshua. And so the big pool is where you're cleansed, and you're washed in a personal pool, and then you're taken to the big pool, which is the world. They all know that story. They'll never forget that story. Years from now, when Saba's gone in heaven, they'll be taking their kids. This is a legacy house. It's not for sale. They'll go and they'll be able to tell that story over and over again. Because the reason Jesus absolutely provided a miracle at the first wedding, because that's where it's at. When you're born again, male or female, you marry. You become the bride, whether you're a male or female. And what he does is he says, no longer are you just a foot washer. You are the joy of the Lord. You are the new wine of the new covenant, and you can be poured into all the doors, and you can flow in my name to the nations and take the joy of the Lord, that you're not realist or religiously bound by having to wash your own feet.
Ah. We should have started the Kurt Landry podcast a couple years ago, at least. I mean,
well, you've been to my house. You've seen those pots. Yeah. I mean, and everyone, but people need to know, listen, I wouldn't have added on the, this is already a big house. I don't need more space. But the Lord said to add this on because it was Ron Phillips that came. Ron came and stood in my backyard. And he just said, man, he goes, I see, he's not like real prophetic like that. Ron's a theologian teacher. And he was standing in my backyard crying. He says, man, he goes, Rabbi, you're going to produce media and publication. Think about how much media has been produced out of that little space. And think about how many books, think of all the content that has come. But the thing is, we had to do it by faith. It was expensive to put all that on. We just started doing it by faith. And I'll tell you, the Lord provided for that space. He provided for it every step of the way.
Yeah, wish this podcast was around a couple years ago. Thankful that God has put me in position to host it, because I think people watching this, listening to it, is learning and getting a spiritual meal that they haven't necessarily had before. You know, I mean, this... YouTube channel, this podcast, you know, like our goal is to produce daily and weekly spiritual content that is going to help people in their daily and weekly journey with God and with Jesus. And it's also to help discover kingdom destinies. That's huge for us. And, you know, people watching, people listening, if you're listening to this over on Spotify or Apple, just hit the follow button, because we're going to be bringing more and more powerful topics and conversations like this in 2025. If you're on YouTube, do us a favor. If you're new here, if you're not new here, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. I promise you're not going to regret it. It's free. A giant population of you, like a ton, that watch our content every day, every week, every month, are not subscribed yet. And we want to get this content to you. Rabbi, last thought for this episode as we end it.
It's Christ in you. That's your hope and glory. It's the Holy Spirit in you. I will close with this. I was in Phoenix ministering at the Herzogs here last week. I was praying to get ready for the service. I went into the throne room in the courts of heaven. I've been there many times. I see the Lord sitting on the throne, Jesus sitting next to him to the right hand, as it says, the great cloud of witnesses, all the warring angels that are there, the archangels. And for the first time, and I've been in the courts thousands of times, in my heart, this was the revelation. It was like, well, where's the Holy Spirit's chair? I never thought there should be like, there's Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in Hebrew, it's Echad, three in one. No chair for him. And I said, Lord, where's the Holy Spirit's chair? And he said, well, his chair is in you. He sits in you. It's the Spirit of the Father that's in the Son. The Holy Spirit of God and Son is in you. You are the temples of the Most High God. You are the temples of the Holy Spirit. It's Christ in you that's the hope and glory. That's why we live holy. That's why we live healthy. That's why we choose not to be offended. That's why we stay humble. That's why we say, yes, Lord, because it's his chair is in your heart.
Yeah, that is a powerful ending. We sure hope that this episode has spiritually spoken to you, that the Holy Spirit is working through and out of you. And if this message has impacted you and you deem it worthy to share, please share it with your friends, your family, anyone that you know that needs to watch this episode of this podcast on this topic and be spiritually fed. Wow. Rabbi, I think probably one of the most common sense episodes that we've done.
Wow.
Truly. You know, because I've been coming up with some topics based off some comments and just, you know, research things that are kind of pain points. And I think you're really walking people through some supernatural common sense.
Well, I was so blessed that our daughter said to me, well, Daddy, I can't. When she says Daddy, because she's speaking, that's different. Because she calls me, been in a meeting, she calls me Rabbi, as COO, I'm CEO. But she said, Daddy, I'm not qualified to speak on this subject. It's not how I was raised. I got to tell you what that meant to me. She said, I was raised that I could do anything I put my mind to. And I thought, wow, that's what I want as a parent. That's what I want as a grandparent. That's what I want for you. When you work with us and we work together, all the staff here, all the followers, that's what I want for you. It's that mindset. Don't let all this world's garbage try to box you in saying you can't do anything. That's why the scripture says I can do all things through that chair, Christ in me. That's the hope and glory. You can do all things. And that's really my legacy. You know, I was blessed to be raised that way, and I realize I have a responsibility to give it away. Because even at my age now, I have a 10-year plan. Most of people my age are retiring. I could retire, but I'm not, and I'm not retiring because I think the best is yet to come. I think with the experience that we have over the last 30 years, and if we take care of our health, and we stay humble in the presence of God, I think we got another 10 years of producing content that I think the experience flavor that can come through us is different. You can't reproduce. I can transfer impartation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, but I can't transfer experience other than leading you into it so that you'll make good choices. And I feel that's what I'm supposed to do.
Well, let's land the plane on this episode. We sure hope that you enjoyed it. Again, if it's touched you, if this message is speaking to you, please share it. Hit that subscribe button if you're over on YouTube, you're following us on Facebook or Rumble, hit the follow button. That'll do it for us. We'll see you next week.